Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Tried to change my country, you've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Do love this land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. Tonight, the co-host of the show is our very own Mr. Tommy English, who's there and ready to go. And also, just to give you an heads up, we've got, I know Boss Man was having some situations with his internet connection, and By the looks of it, he's got it sorted out this evening. So I'm going to bring Tommy on, and I'll bring you on in a very short while, Dave, okay? So with that, Tommy, good to see you, buddy. Or good to hear you, should I say.
Good evening, ladies
must
and
keep
gentlemen.
Remember, it's radio, it's not TV, Tom. Isn't it?
Well, basically, we should have Blog Talk TV, shouldn't we, Jeff? And everyone can see the middle class highlight
something
that we all live.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe down the lines we can do something like that. So I'm sure there's an app that we can use that would allow people to see us. You know, like a proper studio sort of thing. So I'll have to look. I'll have to have all technical stuff around me when I have to.
Well, when we win this war, Jeff. When we win this war, you can be the CEO of the BBC.
No, I don't want anything to do with the BBC. British biased bastards, I call them, you know what I mean?
That's right,
no,
Jeff.
It'll be the EDL, not the BBC.
Well, saying that, Jeff,
that's
Channel 4 will be my yard thing, then. You can have Channel 4.
But, Well, I don't know. As I say, we will win it. As I say, it's going to take a little time, and it seems like there's lots of things going on in the world at this moment in time. And I'll tell you what, this is a discussion that we can talk about this evening. What we've been seeing over in the Middle East, in what's happening in Gaza, probably at this moment in time, Israel's just fed up with all these shells keep coming over, missiles being fired at them, and, basically, they're fed up with, being the good lads, trying not to respond, and they've been hitting them bloody hard. Bloody right. And, of course, you have all the condemnation from the rest of the world, don't you, Oh, dear, them poor Palestinians. Yeah, well, if they didn't fire rockets and shell missiles out of these people's homes, then there wouldn't be no casualties in that way, would there, Tom? The world knows exactly. These people are cowards. They're cowards. They hide behind women and children. And, of course, if there's casualties and there's children, look what the Israelis do. But the world should know what these people are about. They don't care. They'll use their own children. They'll use their wives. Anything to better the cause of Islam. Am I right, Tom?
Well, yeah, especially when it comes to Israel and the Gaza Strip. I've been keeping an eye on the IDF's Twitter, and they've just put an hour ago... This was a few minutes ago. A rocket fired from Gaza hit electricity infrastructure in Israel that supplied power to Gaza, cutting power to about 70,000 people. This is about a few minutes ago. They've had three more rockets
so
in the past hour.
So that cut the power to 70,000 people in Gaza. So what they tried to do is that they're bringing about, wreaking their own destruction on themselves. Is that right, Tom?
They practically are, aren't they? I mean, we all know that Israel's fed up with it. I mean, they are actually gearing up to actually invade Gaza. They're actually preparing to invade the whole thing. They've just had enough of it.
They did have an incursion last night. So I've been following it very, very closely. It's been really quite difficult to get hold of a good, live web and that sort of thing. And the webs that you do get, they go down, the webcams. So it's been a little bit difficult, but I've been catching a lot of it. I even see when the Israelis actually was in there, they were trying to go in and take out where these missiles were. It was quite interesting. And as I say, there was a flourish of gunshots, and you could see the traces and in the background. But so I knew that they was in there even before it was even mentioned that they had actually landed and what they were doing. It was quite obvious they wanted to go in as a little covert force, do the job and get out. Okay, we know, I think three or four of them got hurt. I don't think no one's critically hurt as such, but it's got to be done, isn't it, Tom? But anyway, we're ratcheting on a bit, and we like we normally do, Tom. As I say, it's so good to have you here this evening with me.
Well, basically, Jeff. Jeff, before you bring our day, I thought I'd forget this one. When you look at what's happening to Israel and Gaza right now, it's sort of I think of it as like a a prediction of what's to come in this country. It won't belong until Tower Hamlets Gaza Strip. Tower Hamlets will be our Gaza. Yeah,
you make a very good point there, Tommy. And I'll tell you, you know, as I say, the guy I want to talk about is you know, Dave, he's always got a lot to say about these things. And so should we bring him in? Because I know his internet, he'd lost it a couple of days, because it's a right bugger when it happens.
That's what you get when you have some Muslim children on your copper cable.
Yes, well, that's probably Dave, some of them bloody Muslims down there chewing on the cable, son. Anyway, let's bring him in. Boss man, Dave, welcome to
good
the show, mate. And
good
to have you back, buddy.
Hello, mate.
Yeah. So you've got your internet back now, Dave.
I think I was being mucked about with, to be honest with you. There was a lot of stuff going on. I couldn't upload, couldn't download, I couldn't do anything at all. I had a whole stretch of everything. What happened, I don't know. It's back on, and it seems to be okay at the moment, so...
Yeah. Well, that's the main thing, isn't it? Because I do know, I noticed you'd made a comment on the Facebook that... And I see you saying sorry to, you know, to myself like that, you couldn't be there because of bloody internet and that. And quite understandable, mate, you know. It's these things do happen, you know, and what can you do? You just got to just get on with things, haven't you? But I'd say it's good to have you here this evening, Dave, and I hope you're well. And what I was going to say, yeah, Dave, you know, I suppose you heard what myself and Tommy was talking about. I suppose you've got quite some strong views about what we've been seeing over in Gaza. I know, really and truthfully, we talk about the English Defence League as such, but it's interesting to see now that the Israelis have took the gloves off and getting stuck in, and hopefully that will stop these missiles being fired over. I still think that there's got a bit of work to do, because you know these Hamas, and Hezbollah's been firing over from Lebanon as well. So your views, something I've thought we'd discuss tonight, Dave, you know, because as Tommy said, it could be like a prelude of what we might experience in the future ourselves, with these little Shiites. Might we, Dave?
Well, you know, it's always the same old story. You know, Israel get blamed for fighting back nobody against these people at the moment, get blamed for fighting back. It's as simple as that, you know. I mean, we're all up in arms at the moment. I mean, there were thousands of Muslims in the street on Saturday, I believe it was yesterday, all across the country. You know, these people can mobilise as a force. As soon as you come out against them, apparently then you're getting the blame. You know, it's you, it's your fault, it's Islamophobic, it's all this, you know, sort of stuff coming out. To be honest with you, I don't follow Israel and what goes on too much. I'm more, obviously, concerned with what goes on in our own country and Europe and the rest of the world. I'm sort of sick of hearing at the moment about these people and what they do and what they want to do to people. You know, my eyes are firmly open to what goes on in our
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, the reason why I sort of am talking about Israel is that they've been fighting this fight for a long time against the Islamists, haven't they? The Muslim, you know, these are hardcore Muslims, haven't they? And the thing is, with themselves, it's all about survival, isn't it? Because we know exactly, you know what the Hamas charter says, that every man, woman and child from Israel, they want them gone, they want them dead. You know, this is in their charter. How do they expect a country like Israel to sit down and have peace talks when these people are determined for your death and destruction of your nation, of your people? How can you, Dave? How can you sit with these people? It's because, like, people like Obama and that say, you got to go and have these talks. Yeah, well, you know what? You know, where it's looking after your country and what's going on there, and protecting your people. That comes first. It doesn't matter about the what you say, mate. You know, like I'm talking about Obama or what Cameron or any of them lot might say. When you're under it every day, and you got your citizens who you know, really petrified with what's going on, you've got to do something. And if it's condemnation for what you do, well, it's just too bad, isn't it, Dave? I look at it like that. Israel, get in there and give their ass a good whipping. You know, that's the way I look at it now, Dave. You know, it's just not fair the way the world points a finger at them because they're doing what the rest of the world should be doing in the first bloody place, kicking their asses.
Well, that's it, you know. It's getting to the point. I mean, I did notice, obviously, that this group, there was absolutely nothing, and these people are allowed to do this. You know, yeah. I find it pretty difficult to believe, really, that we can't go and do the same thing on a set day, a certain day. You know, the police would only be able to pick you up from the outside, to put it that way. And if the groups are that big, there may be a demo without the agent of the police to wait. And let's have it on our terms instead of the police's terms and the UAF and the left's terms, and get out there and do something a little bit different to what we normally do. As I say, these people were out in force. I've not heard of any arrests, not that you would anyway, because it's you know that we bend over backwards for these people. I did actually send you a link to a video earlier, Jeff. I don't know if you sent it over and got the MP3 from that. But this woman
was that? Did you send it on the Facebook or is it the Skype?
I did.
Dave?
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
On Facebook, mate. I don't know if we can do anything.
No, I'm sorry, mate. I haven't been on the Facebook today. My apologies, buddy, but I'll go on a bit later and I'll check it out. Sorry about
Ooh,
that, Dave.
Melanie
I just
Phillips.
Haven't been on there today.
I forget the woman's name now again. My
Melanie
brain.
Phillips.
That's it. She has given a little talk somewhere about Islam and what goes on in her own countries and in Europe at the moment. Very interesting, to say the least. And if I had the means, I'd play it myself, but... unfortunately, I can't do that. So,
well, sure, things there, Dave.
This is the lady
really
that we're
good.
Talking about, Tommy, and the lady that was at the Oxford. There was they was doing an exchange of views, wasn't they? They were doing a debate, wasn't they? Is this the was this a later one?
I think it's a later one, I think.
Oh, it's
that's the way
one.
Jeffy went on question
really
time. She went on question time a while ago. They were talking about the Bulgarians coming over, and she was attacked by that woman in the yard. She says, "Look, right." She goes, "Look, I've got no problem with people coming into this country, but there has to be a limit. You cannot have everybody coming in at once." And he's going, "Oh, no. We should allow as many people as we can." She goes, "That's it. We can't."
Well, as I said, I was on a. I was on a radio show the other night, and I said, "Well, it is," and it does come down to it. And I think you will both agree with me. What Paul Weston has said before: social engineering on a massive scale, and population replacement. And this is what we're seeing on a massive scale all over the world. You know, any sort of European countries, it is we're all experiencing the same thing. Because of our politicians being in it and just letting it happen, and they're saying, "Yes, we are doing something." No, you're not, because they're flooding, still flooding through the gates, aren't they, Dave and Tom?
All the time. I've just posted
all
a
the
couple
time.
Of photographs in the chat. I don't know if everyone's seen them, but one of them is a picture of London, and this is on Saturday. Muslims protesting about the bombing of Palestine. You know, if they can mobilise this many people, and there were more demos over England in Israel, what chance do we stand in a civil war with them? You have to wake up, people.
God,
you know,
I'm looking at the picture now, Dave. Bloody hell, look at about the lefty are placards, the Palestinian flags, the socialists. Oh, bloody hell, look at them all.
You know, and that was all over our country on Saturday. It was all over our country.
Oh, it's just...
Disgusting.
Dave, we've got a fight on our hands, haven't we? And Tommy, we've
got
a big fight on our hands.
Couldn't have somebody pushed that double-decker bus over?
I've got a big steamroller, if that's any help.
there you go. Well, it does come in handy, those little things.
Yeah, I was actually hoping, obviously, you
but
know...
But as I say, it is a big... It's a situation we've got. It's a, you know, and we do know, and we've often talked about it. We know what's coming our way. We know that, you know, but this is probably going to end up as urban warfare, isn't it, Dave and Tom?
I'm not so sure, Jeff.
You know,
in
the city fighting.
I'm not so sure, Jeff. Yeah. I mean, there was another threat the other day about, you know, a copycat, Lee Rigby. I can't see it going that far. You might get the one or two that want to do something a bit silly, but the rest of them have got their heads screwed on. They want our government, mate. That's it. It's as simple as that. I know, obviously, like I said last time, I know somebody that's infiltrated a little bit, and they've told him they're not bothered about the EDL, they're not bothered about Britain First. They want the government. That's it. And to know how they feel, and to know that these people are, you know, voting their own people in. I keep saying the same thing every week, but it's very, very important that we get this out there.
It is.
Mayors, councillors, MPs, you name it. And they're slowly gaining power. There was Baroness Worsley. I actually did a little video on that one. You know, she didn't stand up to say, right, we should deal with the grooming gangs, the rapings, you know, or everything that goes on with these people, basically. You know, there was nothing there but she should be doing, really, and she vowed to tackle Islamophobia. You know, and she's a baroness, she's a lord, she's a peer. You know, she's in our government right now telling us what we can and can't do. That, to me, is...
fascism?
She
needs removing. We know that we've had... we've seen this. This is a... destroy from within. And we know these people are being put in their place. We know that it's crawling with these people who their ends in the end is all about the agenda of Islam. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. They might
I was going to say, what we have to remember is that who fuels the so-called Islamophobia? It's not us. Because we're the retaliation to things they do. So when they go out and start grooming white lasses, start causing acts of terrorism, they feel Islamophobia, not us. Not us, not Britain First. Nobody does. It's only the Muslims who feel the so-called Islamophobia.
Well, it's a word that's been made up. I just take no notice of the word. I think it's a stupid word. You know, because they just think, right, that's going to hit hard. Islamophobia. You got people thinking about these words, haven't you, Dave? Well, I like to say that what we've got out there at the moment is Christophobia, Judaphobia, and EDL-phobia. Would you not agree, guys? That's what we've got out there.
Well, you know what? Someone put up a little thing the other day on Facebook saying that they're going to go to the doctors and see if they can actually be diagnosed with Islamophobia. Because obviously, if that exists, then surely you should be able to get some sort of treatment for it. Whether that's lopping your head off or not, I don't know. But you know, this is something that if you've got arachnophobia, you get treated. Islamophobia, there should be something else for that. I've not seen any post yet to say that they actually succeeded with that one. But this is, I'm looking forward to Saturday, Jeff. To be quite honest with you, I'm going to meet you. Yeah. Let's have a chat with the boys. I've got a lot of ideas. I'm not going to say now, obviously. I've got a lot of ideas on what we can do to wake people up and to mobilise people again. Now, you know,
I'm really, really looking forward to it, Dave. You know, and this is
you're
what
not coming
I'm
down
saying,
to Hexthorpe, there, Dave.
Sorry,
you're not coming to Hexthorpe.
No, funds won't allow it, unfortunately. I've got to go to Wolvo and have a meeting, so that's a little bit more important than putting my feet on the street at the moment. As I say, there's lots of stuff we can do to actually wake people up. And I'm a little bit worried at the moment, as I say, from the photographs I've been seeing. You know, they in Scotland, they were outside the BBC, and I actually posted the photograph earlier. And obviously I knew who it was. And everyone was going, well done, the Scottish. You know, well, hang on a moment. Let's look at what it is. These people have got the arsehole, basically, with the BBC reporting biasly on numerous subjects, and this wasn't the English people. These were Muslims. These were Scottish Muslims. You know, so these people have mobilised themselves on a certain day. The best we can achieve at any one time now is 800 people to 1,000. You know, even for the anti-austerity march in London a few weeks ago, there was over 50,000 people. You know, people aren't awake. They're not waking up to what goes on in this country. I mean, you know, I'm far short of actually tweeting David Cameron with beheading videos jumping on their party political pages, should we say, and starting to post stuff on there to get a bet. You know, I don't know what more they must know already. You know, there's no point in doing that, really. But I'm sick to death of people saying, you know, it's not that much of a big problem. You know, these people don't want domination.
I saw that video you put on earlier, Dave. You should have seen that video you put on earlier about those young kids getting executed on that prayer mat. Send him that.
Well, there you go. There's another one where they pretend to be suicide bombers and they've got dirt in their hands and as they fall over, they throw dirt up in the air. You know, these people are being taught from an early age, you know, in that part of the world. I've got no doubt they're teaching
You know, to be honest with you, Dave, there is... especially out in Iran, I do know there was there's probably more than that now, but there was at least 6 suicide schools for the kids. You know, they go to school early to learn how to, you know, become the martyr, this, that and the other, so they call them, or shaheed, what do they call them, the people, the martyr, when they martyr themselves?
Martyrs.
Shaheeds. Yeah, I know, but there is a word that they use, an Islamic word that they use for those people.
Yeah,
and I can't
translated
think of
to
it.
English is
wankers. I think they call each other.
Yes, Dave.
They do it like that. That's what they call them.
Yes, but that is the case, and that's the reason why we. How can we stop this radicalisation with young children? Apart from, you know, you've got to stop the parents, haven't you? That's where it all stems from. This is going to just be an eternal hatred thing that's inbred into their children from the time that they can walk and talk. You know, I mean, going back a few years ago now, Dave, I remember seeing a picture of a man with a little kid on his shoulders with a bandana and an AK-47. To me... That, I thought, my goodness me, it's the worst thing you can see. A child has been taught hatred against the West. You know, they hate us like that, and they're so young. 4 years up, it couldn't be no more than four or five, Dave, you know what I mean? The guy was holding him on his shoulder, and he's got this bloody AK-47 and his bandana around his head, and he had something on it, you know, probably death of the infidel or whatever it was. But how do we solve this problem? You know,
well, if they're doing these suicide schools, maybe what we could do is before I move away from Hull and end up going north, what I'll do is I'll open up a British Islamic suicide school. I'll get all the jihadi parents in there. I'll be the principal. I'll say, well, you know, welcome to Britain's first suicide school. On your desk, you'll find a bottle of bleach. Let's see who can drink it the fastest.
Listen, like I keep saying, you know, we need someone in government with the balls to turn and say,
yeah,
right, that's
do.
It. We've had enough now. You know, and I keep saying, and I can't reiterate enough how strongly I feel about it. There shouldn't be any mosques. There shouldn't be any Quran in our country. This country was not built upon values. They can't force their values upon us. All the while, we have some sort of freedom of choice. The government at the moment are taking their freedom of choice away and ramming it forcefully down our throats is what they're doing. And they expect us not to do anything about
it.
That's right, Dave. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, they're forcing... When you've got governments forcing something, a culture upon us, that's something that none of us, anybody knows about Islam and what it's all about, would have nothing to do with it and would put it in the cesspits of history books and leave it in the dark stages of history, wouldn't they? But when you've got these people in power that's trying to get us to, you know, to be... very much, they call it diverse, or the multicultural thing with Islam. You can't be a multiculturalist with Islam. Islam is its own entity. You know, when they say that, they're talking a load of bollocks. You can't. It's the multiculturalism doesn't count where Islam is concerned, because and of course they would probably take offence at the word themselves. Because they are Islam. They're Muslims. They don't want to be.
How multicultural is the Middle East right now?
Hey?
How multicultural is the Middle East right now?
Oh, my goodness me. Well, I can't see no multicultural.
Well, basically, do you see any Christian communities, any Sikh communities, gay communities in the Middle East? Of course you do. Basically, if you put two cultures together... That's just it. If you put two cultures together in one country, end of the day, one of them will try and take over the other.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean to say, different cultures. No, don't we say that, Tommy? But we have got, like, in our societies, you know, we've got, like, the Sikhs, we've got Hindus, and they're their own cultures and that. But they don't interfere with myself or you, Tommy. These are good people, do their own thing, and... as I say, good luck to them. But the Muslims, they're the ones who want to force, you know, have Sharia law forced upon the rest of us. And so, of course, I'm never going to ever accept anything like that, nor you, nor is Dave, and nor is most of us. It's unacceptable. And if the government keeps trying to force this type of thing upon us, all they're going to have is a revolution down the ways. That's it. I'm going to call it what it is. They'll have a revolution, won't they, Dave? That's it.
Well, sooner the better, Jeff. Sooner the better.
Yeah.
You know, these are stark times that we're facing at the moment. It's all slipping away very, very quick. And I don't think anyone realises just how fast it is slipping away.
Mate.
You know, I don't want to scare it, you know, but people need to know. And I know probably it's only the EDL people and other people listening to this station now that actually know exactly what's going on. I've added in the last week at least 100 people that had no mutual friends, right? And I actually sent them a message, how do I know you, or do you know me? I've just seen one of your videos, you're spot on, mate, right? Added. Now, any problems, I'll delete them.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care about getting screenshotted. I'm sorry if they're going to trawl through my friends list and have a look at what everyone else is doing, but I've sort of shut that down a little bit. But you can't keep educating and keep showing the same people the same message. We need to widen our circles. Now, down to the demos where we're sort of cordoned off and the public can walk around the outside of us, fantastic. Now, this is what I'm looking at doing on Facebook a little bit. You know, we keep seeing all these posts again. Can anyone vouch for these? And there's screenshots of like 20 people that they're not going to add because they've got no mutual friends. You can't spread the message to anybody else unless you start adding these people. Now, you know, a message to them to say, how do you know me? What do you know? You know, you get into a little chat before you add them. You know, it takes a little bit of time. That's time I'm willing to spend.
Yeah.
Because the next person that I can get into with another 3,000 friends, 500 friends, 800 friends, they're going to start sharing the same stuff between their lot. And now we're waking other people up. Now, whether or not they get slagged for it or deleted and blocked by certain people, they're going to know who their friends were. You know, but as I say, I'm working on the fact at the moment of trying to broaden my horizon, so to speak, with the message that I've got and the message that everybody's got, that every page, every group has got that I post out has got to be seen by different people. You know, this is something that's paramount. It's paramount. We can't keep talking to the same people about the same stuff. You know, a lot of people are getting pissed off of it, to be honest. I had a post on my page earlier about, you know, some lady said, I can't do this no more. No one's waking up. What are we going to do? You know, basically it was a big, long post. And I said, well, you know, it's not over until we say it's over. We need to keep banging our head against this wall until we wake these other people up. That's what we need to do. But you can't wake people up if you're going to keep staying in our same circles. Now, I look across groups on Facebook, and most of the groups have got the same people in the groups. So as much as we think it's absolutely massive, it's not as big as what we think it is because we're all joining the same groups. So we've got to now work on actually waking these people up that have got nothing to do with us, our friends, or anybody else's friends, and start adding people with no mutual friends. Right now, a bit of advice, obviously. Do your own work, send them messages, see where they stand. Once you add them, you can look through their page and see what they've been posting over the last 3 months. If you add them and they're posting what they're posting, keep them. If you add them and you look down their page and you see something untoward, block them again. You know, let's wake ourselves because we're the ones.
I think that's a good point there, Dave. You know, that's a message that we should spread around, you know, amongst all of our friends. That's a very good point, you know, check them out. If they're bona fide, they, you know, then, as you say, Adam. But I will say, you've got to be a little bit cautious, because we do know that there are certain people out there who wants to infiltrate and cause as much problems as they can. But it's just been a little bit savvy, isn't it, Dave, you know, being just sussing it out.
Do you know what I mean? Pick the bones out of it. Yeah. See who's who. Listen, a good judge of character can normally weed the bad ones out. There's been a few I haven't added, obviously, because I've looked down their page and I've seen something that I don't really want to see. In which case they get a straight no thank you and said, some of the other ones. And they're messaging me now. You know, but this is different circles with people with 500 to 800 friends. There's another 500 to 800 people that are going to see their post that they share from us. And this is what we've got to try and do a little bit more than we're doing at the moment. And it's very, very important. We haven't got a TV channel.
I agree.
You know, we can't, you know, Muslim TV on Sky. You know, we haven't got a channel. We can't get a voice across. And it's getting very, very hard to keep the numbers up on the marches, to keep the numbers up on the demos, and actually have people come and see and have a listen to the speeches, that stand around, and then say, right, go home and do your own work and have a little look. You know, these people aren't going to do that, so it's down to us.
But that's what we've been noticing. You know, we say that, Dave, but that is been noticing that people are listening to what, especially some of the speeches like you've done and other speakers, people been standing around and as you said, there was even a policeman, or was it Tommy said there was a policeman actually? Oh no, I think that was Bill. As Bill said that he came off the stage, well, you came off the stage and he applauded. That was you, Dad. I thought it was your Bill, like, you know. goes to show you. I mean, and that's the old Bill, isn't it? So, and he appreciated what you had to say.
He did say false of habit, because the woman couple looked at him like disgusted. And he went, oh, to be false of habit, and just, you know, and just sort of looked at me and looked away, and that was that. But Dave actually got accosted by some fella with his two kids. And he came over and called him a racist and all this, that and the other. He went away, sat there with his two kids, had a listen to the speeches and what was going on, and came back over and shook Dave's hand and said he didn't have an absolute clue about what was going on. You know, this is what we're facing. And
and this is what we're doing, Dave, is waking a lot of people up. And once they listen to what we've got to say, and they look around them and they see what's been going on around them, they'll know exactly, we ain't bullshitting them, we ain't doing it just for, you know, just we want our voices to be heard. But it's so important for the public to know what's going on and the way that the media tries to suppress it. No wonder he didn't know what was going on and calling you racist. Because the only thing that he knows is from the bloody papers. And, you know, the media bias against us, and he jumped on board. But when he listened to what was going on, what was being said, a light come on in his head, and he switched on to exactly what we're doing. And we're not all, you know, what they try to pretend that we are. I never have been. And as you say, the truth always gets out there, and that's all we're doing. Every time if we go to demonstrations, this, that and the other, as people are slowly but surely coming on board. You know, I mean, and I've got to, once away, go and talk about what happened with the death of poor Lee Rigby. I mean, after that, I mean, the people that wanted to get involved with the EDL, it went absolutely manic, Dave. It went crazy because people woke up. It had to take absolutely horrific death of Lee to go like that for the people of this country to wake up to what's really going on and what we've been saying. What we said was going to happen. We didn't know how it was going to be achieved, but we knew that there'd be an act out there that totally disgusts and upsets the public, and that's exactly what we see. I remember Tommy Robinson saying, just shortly after, he always thought that it would be him that would, you know, be taken out or something like that, would wake the country up, you know. And that's what he said, but, you know, even he was shocked that, you know, what happened to Lee, we'd be like we all was. But as I say, it did wake a lot of people up. But as you say, people got short memories, haven't they, Dave and Tommy, haven't they?
Too short.
You know,
too short.
You know, some people have and some people haven't. I mean, I suppose I'm like an elephant. I never forget. I never forget the things that I've seen. I never forget what happened on 9/11. That will stay with me. It will haunt me for the rest of my days because it was, as I've said before, Dave and Tommy, it was like watching a disaster movie unfold before me because I was looking at that, looking, thinking, there's people dying there. There's people dying in front of my eyes. I'm watching this while people are dying, you know, and the firemen and the fire service, the policemen, all these people. And the most horrific thing about it was the buildings had an international, there was people from all over the world in these buildings, wasn't there? Hardly any country wasn't affected what went on in 9/11 because it was so much, that's like the world basis, isn't it, there, that was, you know. And that's how it shocked me, Dave. It was, and, you know, the stories of people leaping out the windows and things like, how can we ever forget that, Dave? You could never forget that, Dave. Tommy, you could never forget that, could you? People holding hands and jumping out of windows because they didn't want to be burnt alive. Would rather take, you know, take a fall than, you know, what a situation to be in. And it's like the poor people on 7/7, you know, going about it. All of a sudden, they're reading their paper on a tube. Boom, next minute, they're lying in hospital. They, you know, the lucky ones, you know, survived it. But a lot of them without limbs and that. What's happening to them? I always think of those people. There's so many people out there with those sustained so horrific injuries, wasn't there, Dave? Absolutely horrific. That we can never forget that there are people out there, a lot of people out there want to cause as much mayhem as possible, and they would like to have another 7/7 or something like that scale. I mean, we've had a couple of attacks foiled with the planes, haven't we? You know, the liquid bombs. Well, I think they were talking about 12 planes that had been used. It would have been bigger. I think it would have been bigger.
Well, you know,
David,
Tommy. It only took four radicals, Jeff. It only took four to wreak that destruction. It only took 19 in America on September 11th. It only took two on the Rigby. You know, this is... When we talk about the moderate Muslims, they're irrelevant. I don't care if there's moderates or if there aren't. You know, there are a fraction of these people, basically, that want to kill us. They want world domination. They've been reading this stupid book. You know, I could write on a... Imagine finding a book after some sort of Armageddon in this country, you know, or this planet that we've got, and the ads come and find some sort of book, and it's Mr. Tickle. You know, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with this ideology and these people that haven't got a fucking clue. If it's one of my friends, haven't got a clue about life or what goes on. They're indoctrinated. They're brainwashed into this cult.
Yeah, I mean, the old word brainwash is totally programmed into to be like killing machines. We've got to say that this is what they're like. They love death as we love life. That's it. They, you know, the best death for them would be to die sort of in, you know, in combat or whatever. You've ever seen anything with any of these jihadists? They will say that the way they want to go is on the battlefield. They want to, you know, this is the way they want to meet their maker, like, you know.
It's martyrdom, right? They want, you know, they don't drink.
Yes.
Alcohol's forbidden, but apparently in heaven, the rivers flow with wine.
Yeah.
You know, you get 72 virgins. I mean, look at what drives these people to commit martyrdom. It's 72 virgins. 72, you know, I put a little video out a little while ago. These people don't worship Allah. They worship the woman's titty bits is what they worship. Well, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing to get up and have 72 virgins. Where are you going to find 72 virgins for each man? Place. Where are you going to find
that? Well, I think they got it wrong. It's one 72-year-old virgin, I reckon, Dave.
Yeah.
Poor old
girl. I've always said 72 Call of Duty players.
Right. And out jumped Jeremy Beadle. Yeah, you've been going for a laugh. but, you know, this is something I actually read up on it the other day. What happens is basically is that you get there and you get one virgin, and you know, when you've had your time on that virgin, could be 50, 60 years, you go, right, time to trade in, get a new one, you get another new virgin, and that happens 72 times. You don't just get 72 all in one go, right? So there's, you know, but these people believe that they can have a life filled with all sorts of beautifulness for blowing themselves up. I mean, we've seen the evidence of these people's thinking on videos and photographs, where they've got concrete blocks hanging by their nuts. One of them had a titanium plate down his trousers. Because if I go to heaven,
well, the thing about it is, Dave, that they, they all, you know, these ones who are going to blow themselves up, it's common knowledge that they put silver foil around their private parts.
That's it.
I don't know what that is, if they, what, the private parts are pre-preserved for when they go to their paradise.
Yeah.
I don't get it, Dave.
Because there'd definitely be an entity, wouldn't they? I mean,
good news, everybody. We've got some lefties and Muslims in the chat room. Yay!
Oh, really?
Look at the chat box.
Go down the names.
Go down the names.
Brilliant. You know, this is something, you know, all the while you're dealing with this. Now, you're saying, obviously, you can take the girl out of Essex. You can't take the Essex out of the girl. You can take the boy out of Norbury. You can't take Norbury out of the boy. You can bring these people to a Western country and never, ever take Islam away. Now, we're led to believe a little bit that people are actually leaving Islam and they're coming to the West to leave Islam. But what's happening is they're getting embroiled in with the people because they've got such a massive influx in all these countries that they end up back in Islam because they're wrapped up around certain people. If they refuse, they die. You know, these people want to be a part of something. And, you know, we've got disenfranchised children at the moment, young white girls that are actually offering themselves up to these people at the moment. There's also another thing that I looked at. I was seeing a film the other day. I forget actually what the thing's called. It's about being arrested for murder, basically. And you'll get done for the same crime, even though only one person held the knife. Common purpose, I think it's called. There's a lot of people being put away at the moment over common purpose, which means, obviously, all in a group, you all stole the car, you know, or you all murdered someone, or you all done. So they're getting rid of a lot of young white men in the prisons. That, obviously, in turn, funds the G4S and all the rest of it. I'm not going to go into that. But it leaves these white girls, single white women as well, with children, susceptible to these fucking wankers that want to come in and try and take over. You know, and they're actually brainwashing.
Of course, don't.
Simple as that. Listen, it wouldn't be so bad, Jeff, if they were just brainwashing their own people, right? They're not brainwashing their own; they're brainwashing ours. There's so many white converts, and you know what? You can just imagine the looks on these people's faces when they go, "Another white convert," "Another white convert."
I know. Someone else that we can use to our own purposes, and when they're finished with them, discard with them. That was probably would be the plan down the lines, wouldn't it, Dave? Let's be honest. Right? They just want them to convert, and they can use them in their own ways. That's the reason why we find these converts have turned quickly radicalised over a very short time. We've seen that we've got a few of them banged up now for it, for the same sort of thing. Become radicalised. And they're out there to do, you know, they read that this is the way that they get total respect. A lot of them are no-hopers and, you know, total losers. And they think this is how they gain their respect in the world if they do something like this. I don't know. You know, I'm not a psychologist, but most of them are losers, aren't they, Dave? You know, they've not been liked at school. They're probably bullied at school and things like that, these people.
You know.
Misfits, aren't they? That's what we call them, misfits.
It. Older parents, because they've got away with blue murder as a kid. I've seen that. You've seen it. You know what goes on. But these people are so easily led. And there's loads of them out there. There's hundreds of thousands of them out there.
Oh, yeah.
That go, well, you know, because my area. Now, it's a little bit of peer pressure, though, Jeff, is what you've got to see as well. You know, in the schools, you know, years and years and years ago, I'm not bringing colour or race into it, but this is what I witnessed as a child. You know, there were four or five black guys in our school, and they talked just like us, all right? Now there's four or five white people in the school, and they talk like them. It's peer pressure, is what it is. And when you're living in an area where people are predominantly Muslim and you're white, you have to fit in. You have to fit in, and this is where they're
That's right, Dave. You know, that is bang on what you say there, and that is the situation. But I was going to say, Dave... good to have you here tonight, and Tommy. I was going to say, I think I need to call back in a minute, Dave. Tommy, have we got anything, any tunes that we can play for this evening, or have you got something lined up for them tonight, mate?
Yeah, I got a tune here.
That's lovely, mate. So, ladies and gentlemen, yes, you're listening to myself, Jeff. You listen to Mr. Tommy English and, of course, Boss Man David J this evening. And we're just discussing things in general. The situation we have before us is I would say it's quite critical, isn't it? We stand in a critical time. I think that's the way to put it, Dave. Would you not say that we stand in a critical time in our history? That's something needs to be done, very urgent.
This put on the shoulders of somebody or a group of people that have saved the inevitable that was going to go on. And I don't know who that is or what's going to go on or what group that will be, but someone somewhere has got to do something, my friend. You know, as a group of people in this country, we should not be laying down and letting these people treat us as a fucking doormat, right? And this is what's happening day in and day out.
I think we all agree, Dave. I think the trouble is we've taken it so long, and the politician people expect that we're going to continue taking it. I think we're giving them a pre-warning. This can no longer continue. Things are wrong in this country. Things need to be addressed. And we've got serious issues that need to be resolved. And we're fed up with hearing the speak and nothing being done or achieved. Time for action, because otherwise people like ourselves will start. We'll be revolting, won't we, Dave? We're revolting.
Revolting with the rest of the revolting.
Well, that's what they call us.
Yeah.
The natives are revolting, Prime Minister.
Yeah. Yes,
it don't like it happened, them fuzzy wuzzies.
The fuzzy wuzzies. Yeah. It is getting really, really, it's getting dire now. You know, I mean, I've only stepped in, sort of later on, shall we say. And it's already been going absolutely great, before anything else. So all I can say is that if we don't pull our and actually try and do this, then we might as well just call it a day, really, without the support, or without numbers, or without people with the same sort of mindset as us. Then we've got no hope. It's as simple as that. You know, we can keep doing this. I'll keep doing it. We'll all keep doing it. But it's not going to make a blind bit of difference when these people are doing what they're doing. Tommy, I've just messaged you something, mate. I don't know if you can play that for us at some chat in the show. It's about 10 or 15 minutes long. This is that Melanie Phillips, Islam in Europe.
I'll play it during break, mate. Got it. Just come through now.
Fantastic. All right, then, mate.
Sorted. We'll go for a quick break and then we'll come back. And we'll probably be talking about Melanie Phillips because she has become quite a voice within the counter-jihad movement, hasn't she, as of late, and been following her very closely. So thank you very much, Tommy, for the video tonight. So with that, I'll pass it over to you, and we'll be back in a short while. Yeah?
No problem.
15 minutes.
Okay. Right then, guys, here we go.
One more depending on a breath, yet we all look away. People pretending just another day. There's bullets flying through the air.
I was still waiting for our humble host.
Do you know what, Tom? I thought there was a bit more to that. That's why I didn't come in just after it finished. Yeah, I love that tune as well. I just thought there was a little bit more to it, you know. Never mind. But thanks again, Tom. Yeah, I forgot what we were talking about just before the break. Dave, what was we talking about just before the break? Melanie Phillips, wasn't we?
That's it.
Yeah, it's applauded now.
There was a debate. I think it was at the Oxford University. And I think we had one of her things that she said. We played it once before, or a couple of times I think I played it on the show before, didn't I, Tom? Do you remember that when we played that, going back quite a while now, wasn't it? Do you remember, Tom?
Yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
And that was the Oxford University. There was a big debate about Islam, wasn't it? I can't remember exactly what the theme was, but she made some very good points. And, of course, people trying to shut her up, you know, standing up and this, that and the other. And she said, no, I'm not going to sit down. I'm going to say what I've got to say. And she was very precise in that. And I think she won the day, you know, on that debate. I think she done that. I don't know actually how it went at the end, you know, because there's normally who'd won the debate. But I'm not sure whether, you know, the Uyghur won it or whether the Islam won it. I wasn't sure exactly of the result. But it was a very, very interesting debate. I don't know about you, Dave. Do you often listen to debates on that, Dave? You know, people like Rob Spencer debate with Muslims and things like that. It's absolutely fantastic. I love hearing debates.
I do, when I can catch them. I mean, you know, this is, yeah. I mean, Melanie, she was firmly set on the left, believe it or not, and
yes,
she's obviously spotted problems for what they are, and this is what's great about it, really, because she's a right convert, can we say. She's seen the problems.
She's enlightened, becoming enlightened.
That's it, you know, and she's actually speaking out for what she now believes in to be true and correct, which is what we should all be doing. We shouldn't be taking the media's word for it, or be skipped by the likes of racist and fascist and bigot and the EDL or this and the EDL or that, and all these other groups are far right, extreme. It's nothing but, I'll be nice, it's rubbish, basically. You know, we've got to see it for what it is in the country. It is a major, major problem. And all the while, we're just letting it go. You know, it's going to carry on. You know, how much more are we going to take? How much more are we going to put up with before we actually go, you know what, that's it. You know, a line was drawn in the sand back in the 90s. You know, they've crossed over that line in the sand. We've drawn another line. Then we had the 7/7 bombings. We've drawn another line. And then Lee Rigby, we drew another line in the sand. And these people keep stepping over it. And we're not doing anything about it.
Yeah. I think that, you know, as I said before, they think they can keep pushing us and there won't be no pushback. But when it does come, I do believe that they will... dream that they never started to try to push as they did, because we do know the British, the spirit of the people, when we're pissed off, you don't want to mess with us. Is that right, Dave, Tommy? They don't really want to mess with us when we're pissed off.
The resolve is always stronger, is it not? Like the first time German bombs fell on this country, the retaliation, bloody hell.
Can we wait that long, though, Tommy? Do you know what I mean? Can we wait that long for them to do something else and for us to retaliate again? Like I said to you, I don't think these people are going to do that. You might get one or two doing something really stupid, but these people know that it's going to be one for our democratic process, and that's what's going on at the moment. You know, these people have got their head screws on. This isn't Europe. Europe are up in arms at the moment. They're rioting, they're raping, they're pillaging. You know, you might as well call them Vikings, these people. They've just gone hell-bent for leather all over
Europe.
Utopia,
I'd call it Utopia, is it? You know.
That's it. But they're not actually doing that in England, because they know if they did, we would rise up and we would take control of things. They don't want us to rise up. They want to grab some sort of power in their country. Listen, even if not on my watch, not on our watch. It shouldn't be on everybody's watch. But this is what these people want. They want the government, all right, straight from their mouths. And this isn't about posts on Twitter and Facebook and silly stuff. This is about someone I know that's infiltrated, all right? He knows exactly what they've said. He knows what they want. All right, they've told him. We've been having messages between ourselves. He knows exactly what they want. And the EDL and Britain First, all the rest of us, mean absolutely diddly squat to them. They want the government, and that's it. And they're doing all they can to win seats. They're doing all they can to be voted in as mayors and councillors and MPs, and this is where
well, look
we've
around
got
the country, Dave. I think they've got 3/4 of the country have been sewed up on the councils, as you say, mayors, this, that, and the other. They're all over 3/4 of the country, I would say.
Let's look at why we don't get housing, Jeff. You know, let's look at why we don't get housing because these people work in our councils. Let's look at as to why, you know, a mayor will fund his own Muslim people in Tower Hamlets because the Muslim people have elected him and he will do all he can for his own people. That's prejudice. Yeah. It's discriminatory. You know, and it shouldn't be happening.
Racist.
There is a law there, I'm sure. Yeah, he's racist. That's right. You
but we can't call it that because we're supposed to be the Islamophobes, aren't we? We're not allowed to say that it's racist and bigoted what they're doing because we're the Islamophobes. We shouldn't have a view of what these people are doing quite openly and quite brazenly as well.
Yeah.
But we'll take their voices, no matter what they bloody...
Well, shall we play this clip, guys? Because I'm looking forward to listening to this.
Melanie
Phillips Tom?
In the chat room, Jeff. Someone said, Jeff, I think you might have meant Anne Marie Walters at the Oxford Union. This is someone different. So,
My apologies about that. I did mean that, lady, because as I say, We played the one from the Oxford University before. So thank you in the chat room, guys, for giving me a heads up on that. You know,
this is something I listened to earlier. and shared it out, and other people obviously have shared it again and again and again. This is obviously someone with the right vocabulary, saying what needs to be said. In some sort of conference, Tommy. So, you know, if you want to go over that, mate, then please play it. And And if you want the link, I think I'll put it up in the chat room. If not, I'll do it again in a moment. But you all need to share it, see it, like it, do whatever you've got to do with it, and get it out there to people.
Right, okay, guys, we're ready then?
Go, go, go.
Yes, please.
All right, then, boys and girls, here we go.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to speak to you today specifically about Britain, which is in Europe, but very much not of Europe. And I was particularly struck by the Pew poll, which you've been hearing about this morning, which found, among other things, that Britain was the least Islamophobic of all the European nations that were studied. And Britain, nevertheless, was the country where British Muslims hated their host country the most. And I don't think that this is a coincidence. I think these two things are intimately connected. And I think what we're looking at is an interface between the encroachment of militant Islamism in Britain with what I would consider should be called Britain's cultural lobotomy. I'm going to ask the question rhetorically, what do Britons believe? And I will answer it that Britons believe now nothing and everything, thus proving Chesterton's famous dictum that when a man stops believing in God, he will believe in anything. In Britain, most do profess Christianity, as we've heard. Most do profess a belief in God. Nevertheless, the real religion is individualism. Nevertheless, again, there is, as we've just seen, a great desire for spirituality. And what then therefore happened is that people have gone for spirituality without the church, without organized religion, and without the inconvenience of the moral codes that organized religion has thrown up. Morality has been privatized. What is right as a doctrine has given way to what is right for me, which is the basis of the moral and cultural relativism we've been hearing about, which involves, as you know, no judgment to be permitted of different people's lifestyles. It involves the development of multiculturalism and victim culture based on the doctrine that the values of the majority are by definition illegitimate because they exclude the minorities. There is, under this doctrine, no objective truth. Everything is a matter of opinion because my values are the equal of your values and therefore it is merely my opinion versus your opinion. There is no objectivity. There is no truth. This has given rise to a moral and social anarchy in which we in Britain are rapidly retreating to a pre-modern age of irrationality, having disaggregated truth, we no longer are able to use the reason that bases itself on truth. This is particularly ironic because in our society, in Britain and in the West, we make a fetish of reason. It is in the name of scientific reason, also known as empiricism, we have exiled religion and declared that God is dead because the biblical stories are merely primitive superstition as they don't correspond to the dictates of reason as defined by scientific empiricism. However, in our age of unparalleled rationality, we in Britain have descended into an unparalleled age of extreme irrationality. People now believe every conceivable wacky and kooky rubbish that is known to the ingenuity of man to invent. We in Britain believe in cults, in paganism, in witchcraft, in psychic phenomena, in reincarnation, in astrology, in parapsychology. David Icke's demented books are selling in their millions, and people believe, as we heard obliquely referred to earlier, that Princess Diana, who herself became a deified figure, was murdered by a conspiracy of MI6 and the Duke of Edinburgh. Now, this complete disintegration of rationality, belief, cultural identity, morality, spirituality, and religion has created a cultural vacuum into which the Islamists, who are certainly not stupid, have recognized this is their opportunity. And Britain, having led the way out of rationality, is their principal target and their principal recruiting ground. The Islamists believe the cultural weakness of Europe, embodied particularly in Britain, and have moved to fill the vacuum. And they've done this in a number of ways. First of all, they are terrorizing the population through terror. Secondly, they are converting the most vulnerable in our society, the criminals, the disturbed, mentally disturbed, the young who are looking for a meaning to life beyond materialism and who, for various reasons of a distressing nature to you, no doubt, this is not being filled for them by the churches who have vacated this particular battlefield. The Islamists are also exploiting our victim culture, which has arisen out of our doctrine of multiculturalism, to claim that in the interests of equality, they must have preferential treatment in the public square, backed up by the threat of terrorism. The intellectual elite in Britain has fallen for this hook, line, and sinker, unlike the public, who most certainly have not. But our intellectual, political, and I'm afraid, security establishment in large measure is saying, instead of saying that Muslims in Britain must be treated on the principle of equality like any other minority, they have allowed and indeed condoned and encouraged the steady encroachment of Islam into the public sphere. So we now have earnest discussions by our most senior lawyers of the extent to which Islamic law can and should be permitted to encroach into the field of the English common law, although the principles of Islamic law are inimical to the English law and to the canons of Western society and British society. We have the famous lecture by the Archbishop of Canterbury in which he said that we should not be at all concerned or frightened about Sharia law, and that it was entirely proper for British Muslims to have recourse to Sharia family law alongside English common law. He was somewhat surprised by the reaction that he provoked, which was, to put it mildly, explosive, although not in a literal sense. But what he didn't understand was that what he was so confidently saying we should have no fear of as a hypothetical enticement for the future was already happening in spades. In Britain, we now have the steady development of Muslim enclaves which are governed informally by a parallel jurisdiction of Sharia law, a kind of embryonic state within a state. We already turn an official blind eye to such things as cousin marriage, genital mutilation of women, honor violence, and polygamy. Indeed, we are now, as a state, encouraging and condoning polygamy because we are now giving welfare benefits to the multiple wives of Muslim men. Our Prime Minister has said that London should become the global center of Sharia finance. This is absolutely catastrophic. People in government and in the city can only see one thing: the signs of pounds sterling dancing before their fevered eyes, and there will be trillions of pounds involved in Sharia finance, and a lot of people will make a lot of money from it. What they don't understand is that this will institutionalize Islamism in Britain. For a start, it has come as an unwelcome shock to some of our banks to find that on their Sharia boards advising them about their Sharia finance arrangements sit people who are not wholly unassociated with Islamic terrorism and with Al-Qaeda. And this whole thing is based on a bogus argument about interest on the basis that Sharia prohibits interest. It doesn't. Sharia, as I understand it, permits interest in, would you believe, Saudi Arabia. What Islam prohibits, as I understand it, is not interest but usury. The fiction that Sharia prohibits interest has been invented in order to Islamize the British public space. And what the people who say, oh, well, this is of no consequence because it's simply a means of making money for everybody and therefore everybody will be happy, what they don't understand is that if you are a Sharia authority and you are in the business of finance, there is a payback. You get the money in response for which you adhere to Sharia law. And this will Islamize not just Muslims, but increasing numbers of Britons as we as a society are more and more becoming in hoc to that. Now, the British establishment refuses completely to see all this. It refuses to accept that religion is at the heart of the problem. It refuses to accept that what we are facing is an Islamic jihad. It had instead accepted the Muslims' own assertion that what we are facing in terms of terror is nothing whatsoever to do with religion, and if anyone says that Islam is a religion of violence, they'll kill them. The British establishment thinks that by seeking to accommodate this Muslim narrative, as the postmodernists would have it, of encroachment into the public sphere, they will draw the Muslim sting and get the Muslim community in Britain on side. They will draw the sting of the anger against Britain. They will turn jihadists into model citizens, and they will separate the community from Al-Qaeda. They think, indeed, that the Islamic religion in the form of the Muslim Brotherhood is an antidote to Al-Qaeda, an antidote to terror. They think the Muslim Brotherhood is a counter-radicalization movement. As a result, they are using the Muslim Brotherhood and bringing it into the heart of the British establishment because they fail to understand that what we are facing is a pincer movement of Islamism being used to against our society, not just through terrorism, but also through cultural attack. What we heard from before from Professor Mattai's very important point, we're seeing both Leninist Islamism in the form of Al-Qaeda, and we're seeing Gramscian Islamism in the form of Tariq Ramadan and cultural Muslim Brotherhood onslaught, which of course corresponds to and is using the Gramscian onslaught on the basic tenets of Western civilization through such things as the capture of the intelligentsia, the capture of the universities, the capture of the establishment, the capture of the civil service, the destruction of things like family and nation, and the substitution of the values of the excluded and the transgressive for the values of the normal. That is the Gramscian project. It has succeeded in Britain absolutely to the letter, and the Islamists are coming along and Islamizing Gramsci. That's what we have in Britain. The government doesn't see this, so we now have Muslim Brotherhood people at the center of government advising the government on how to combat Islamist extremism. I have sat in defense establishment seminars where I've seen hard-bitten ho-ho people from the security establishment sitting lapping up Islamists, bamboozling them with a sanitized and highly selective version of Islam. I know that the police are giving sensitive security information to Muslim extremists who are on their liaison groups with the committee, with the community, which are not vetted in case they upset the Muslim community, and they are asking permission of these people before they conduct raids. And what all this is doing, it is undermining the true moderate Muslims in our midst, of whom there are certainly some, not as any, in any, by any means as many as is said to be, but they do exist. And they say with considerable feeling that when the British government brings on and treats as genuine interlocutors the Muslim Brotherhood, what that is doing is cutting the ground from under the feet of the moderates, the true moderates, who then have no ground to stand on. I would conclude by saying this. I was very struck by the address last night of Cardinal Pell, and he painted a relatively benign and indeed optimistic picture of relations between the non-Muslim and Muslim minority in Australia. And I would make two points to this, which I don't think he fully acknowledged. The first point is that Australia has very few Muslims compared to what we have in Britain and what there is in Europe, and that, of course, makes a very considerable difference. But the key thing about Australia also is that, in my view, it is no coincidence that this happy, relatively happy state of affairs follows the incredibly hard line taken by John Howard and other ministers in that government, who basically said in terms repeatedly, this is the line we are drawing. We are a European Western society. You live here on our terms or else you go. And by the way, we are not letting a lot of you in. And like it or lump it, these are our terms. This is our society. This is our culture. You are welcome to take part in it, but on our terms. And this is what has to happen. We have to draw the cultural line in the sand. The British Muslims say to us, we want equality. We are a minority. We want equality. And the establishment, because it's so bamboozled by multiculturalism, thinks that equality means equality of the minorities with the majority. But it doesn't. The deal since the establishment has been that a majority upholds its own society, in the case of Britain and the West, tenets of liberalism, of tolerance, of the disconnect between religion and the public square, and that all minorities are treated the same as each other within that. In other words, they are all free and welcome to practice communities of faith, but where those faiths may conflict with the dominant values of the majority, those values must give way. We should say to our British Muslims, and the West should say to its Western Muslims, you are welcome to live here, but on our terms, which means that you have the same rights and responsibilities as every other minority. You're welcome to set up your communities of faith, but in terms of the public square, in terms of the public sphere, it's ours, and you do not colonize it. So not one inch will we give to Sharia, because we give it to no other minority. Now, in Britain, we have not done that. We have gone hell for leather in the opposite direction, and that is why Britain is the most tolerant nation in Europe towards its Muslim minority, and it is the most hated by that minority. Thank you.
Wow.
But how good is that?
Oh, totally awesome, mate. And she sounds like she's like middle England, doesn't she? She seems like she's understood the threat, what's going on, and it was great to hear. It was great to hear that, Dave and Tommy. Absolutely a breath of fresh air, wasn't it? And hopefully that video, or you know, wake a lot of people up as well. Because this is, you know, the lady, a lot of middle, I would say that she's like from a lot of middle England, sort of, the way that she's talking, for, you know, as such. And I think that's so important. And hopefully it might wake up some of these other people in middle England to what's going on. And they speak up like what Melanie's done. I think it's absolutely fantastic. The first time I heard that. So, Tommy and Dave, thank you so much. Appreciated.
I think I've got an appropriate tune to play right after that as well. I've just uploaded this as well.
Well, listen, let me just say, I'm just looking on Wikipedia at the moment. Phillips's family is Jewish and immigrated to Britain from Poland and Russia. Her father, Alfred, was a dress salesman, and her mother, Mabel, ran a children's clothes shop. Both parents were committed Labour voters. She was educated at Putney High School, an independent school in Putney, London, and later read English at St Anne's College. Now, she was actually awarded the Orwell Prize for Journalism in 1996 while she was writing for The Observer. Yeah, you know, I mean, this woman, you know, her, she defines herself as a liberal who has been mugged by reality. All right, she's written for The Guardian, The New Statesman, The Times, covering political and social issues from a social conservative perspective. You know, this is what I'm saying, see, you know, if it takes somebody like this to stand up and say exactly what she just said, then surely other people should take heed of her warnings. to be Jewish or whatever doesn't matter. She's obviously parents were, you know, immigrants themselves, so it's not anything about being English and being racist and being Islamophobic. These are her views, obviously, from what she's seen being a journalist. And top respect to this lady. I saw it earlier, like I said, and I did send it to you on Facebook, hoping that we could get it on. Nice one, Tommy. But, you know, this is something that we've got to try and get more people like this on board, you know. And I know
this is what we've been trying to do for many years. I mean, when Tommy and Kevin was, very much a part of what was going on, this is what Tommy was trying to achieve with the good people of Middle England. But as he said once, it was hard work, and the only thing he was sad about is that he never achieved that. And it seems like that we have got this lady now who's like Middle England, who's speaking out against these issues that we discuss week in, week out, Dave. And more power to people like her, and I hope more people stand up and speak out, because that's how we get changes done in our country. With people, as I say, like Melanie. It was a breath of fresh air, guys, an absolute breath of fresh air. And I'll just give you an heads up, guys. Do you know what? Tonight is a very busy night. I've just noticed how many people are sitting in the chat room. Scared the shit out of me, quite honestly, guys.
Jeff is easily startled. I was going to say, I did upload a tune that I thought would be quite appropriate to play right after such a brave thing that Melanie's just, if you want me to play this guy, it's in about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine. So I was going to say to Tommy, could you do me a favour in a minute, because my chest ain't too good at this moment. I was wondering if you could possibly...
I am rubbing lotion on your chest, Jeff. We've had this discussion.
It's a certain times of night that, you know, me little issue starts to play me up. It sort of, you know, gets round about this time. But, yeah, Tommy, I was going to say, after we play the show, I was wondering if you could do a little roll call, because we've got so many great people sitting in the chat room this evening. It's just amazing tonight. So, I'll pass it over to you, Tommy. This is great tonight. I'm loving it tonight, guys, and I hope our listeners are enjoying the things that we've been discussing, and it's great that we had that audio clip with Melanie as well on there. Absolutely awesome. So Tommy, over to you, mate.
I think I'll play this tune and have a quick roll call. So here we go.
We'll be right back.
Children of the Revolution, T-Rex. Oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember that the first time around. Thank you, Tommy, for that. And after that clip you played, Children of the Revolution, yeah, it sounds quite appropriate, doesn't it, Tom and Doe?
Mm. Oh, without a doubt, good choice.
Yeah. But I was going to say, Tommy, I was wondering if you can do the honours tonight, as I say, because we got a lot of good people in the chat room this evening, mate, so...
I've got interesting names in the chat room as well. Yeah, I got in front of me. So I'm looking forward to reading all these names out, actually. Right, okay. So we've got Jeff and myself, which is Tommy English. I'm not Kel, I'm Tommy English. Right, to kick start, we've got Abdullah Nutsack.
Oh my God, Abdullah Nutsack.
We've got Arab Monkey. We've got bacon.
Well, that's sausage to go with that as well, please, Tom.
Double egg, please.
We've got Bigfoot.
Yay.
We've got CRG.
Awesome.
We've got Kath. So, Jeff, if you want to read out the number.
Oh, yeah. 001-858-777-5934. I repeat, 001-858-777-5934. There you go. That's a calling number.
And we've got EDL Mink.
Oh, don't forget, that's if you're outside the USB. Go, Tommy.
Well, judge by the way how America's going, it should be the United Arab Emirates States of America. No disrespect to our American fellow comrades over there, because you're doing a brilliant crusade over there, guys. So we've got EDL Minks as well.
Yay.
And we've got Fable 65.
Oh.
And we've got God Loves Us All.
Well, there you go.
Got quite a lot of guests in the room tonight.
Yes, nice.
As per usual, I'd like to say. And we've got Golf Dogs.
Yay, Golf Dogs. Always good to see you, brother. God bless you.
We've got our Hold Your Awakens.
Hold Your... Oh, just I've got to give a bit of an heads up. Hold Your Awakens had a great show last night. They had a gentleman on his show last night, I'm terrible with names, find my apologies, but it was a fantastic show. I listened to it this morning, Alger. As usual, bang on. Thank you so much. Great show. Thank you. So there you go. Carry on, Tommy. Thanks, Alger, again. It was brilliant. Enjoyed it.
And we've got Islam is pig shit.
Excellent. No, I should have used that one.
We've got Jack Bryant. That one's just popped in. Yeah. We've got Keel Islam.
I kill you!
Keel Islam.
We've got Motivate Radio, which is our Dave, our boss man.
Yes. It's a great radio show there, Dave.
And should I say this one? I don't know. We've got our Muhammad is a sick fuck. Muhammad is a sick fuck.
Well, did you say a fish hook? Yes, he is a fish hook,
yes. He is. Lord
yeah.
Singer.
Yeah. We've got Muslim Michelle. I think that's Muslim Michelle. Mikel? I think it's something like that, isn't it?
Yep.
I've got Natalie Baker. And we've got NSE, which is No Surrender Ever. There's a new one. So a lot of these ones are quite new tonight. We've got Richie Psychotic Delusion.
That's a great nickname. I noticed that, Tom.
He's
great nickname. I'll be able to pronounce it myself.
He's well come done. Over for Motivate. He's one of ours. So
there you go.
And we've got
great
Stealth.
Nickname.
Got Stealth here.
Stealth, yeah, it's always good to see you, Stealth.
And last but not least, we've got, what's this one here, The Exceptional Conservative.
Oh, yes, well, it's good to have you here. tonight as well, exceptional always, and not forgetting, we got a Sue from New Mexico who always listens to the show, Tommy. She's sitting there listening in. So, my goodness me, it did take you a little while to go through the list tonight, didn't it, mate, eh?
Aye, it was it's a lot of lovely names, isn't they?
Yeah. You enjoyed reading them out as well, Tommy. I know you did. You really
well,
did.
I've got to say, I've done the nut sacks. That's the best one so far.
I've got to give a shout-out to Jane. I've got to give a shout-out to Jane in Australia as well. She's listening at the moment. She just sent me a message on Facebook.
Fantastic. Well, I hope it... Oh, yes, our listeners, new listeners listening, I hope you're enjoying the show this evening. Because sometimes we don't know where we're going to go, what topics we're going to be speaking about. But we always come back to speaking about Islam and the threat for our countries and our nations. Always, don't we? It doesn't matter what we talk about, Dave and Tom.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we talk about EDL issues. We talk about, you know, upcoming of EDL events and that, but it always comes back to Islam. The biggest threat in the world, global jihad, is what we're experiencing. And we can't get away from it, no matter, you know, you can't just turn your computer off. It's not going away. It's deteriorating as we talk. Things are getting worse. And, well, you know, we're here, though. We're here. And we're still that beacon of light that shines out there, aren't we, guys? And we're doing our darndest to wake people up to this credible threat. It's a threat that's going to affect you, not yourself, but your generation, your future generations. It's definitely going to affect those. This is why we say that this is very critical time now, that we must do something, whatever we can do to achieve, to make sure that they've got the same freedoms as what we've got, which they're trying to take away. They're trying to evolve it away from us, dissolve it from us, and that's why we fight so hard, and we will continue to do so as well. Would you not say, Dave, that we've got no bloody choice? We're in a war. This is a war. You know, this is a war. It's coming from all sides.
If you want our country's history, heritage and culture resigned to the history books, then just sit back and do nothing. All right, live in your little bubble and see how far that will get you. All right, you're the first ones to go if and when these people get some sort of power. And don't look to us, even though we will, don't look to us to protect you when you sat back and did nothing. This is what goes on. You're going to expect someone to fucking look after you when these people gain power and the shit hits the fan. And we'll be here, right, but you're going to come running. You people will come running. And you will go, oh my God, how did I not know about this? Now, we've got a demonstration coming up in Downing Street in September. We should be doing the BBC. I've said it before and I'll say it again. These people, we could take them down tomorrow. There's people that don't agree with paying a TV licence now with all the paedophilia stuff coming out from the BBC, the government and everywhere
exactly,
else.
Mate.
The house of cards is coming falling down. It's going to come falling down all around them. And when it does, we're going to be there. I'm not going to be there.
Yes, we are. And I'll just say just something, what you were saying, though, Dave, is those people that would come to us and you know, they realise they've done wrong, we'd never turn them away, though. Let's be honest, Dave. We'd never turn people away.
No,
you know,
right.
We feel angry
but
at them at this moment in time, but guarantee, if you need us, this is what we're here for now. We are the English Defence League. We will protect our people and our nation. So you might hate us at this moment in time, but there might become a time when you realise that what we've been saying and doing, it is affecting you big time. You know that we would always be there for you. We would always be there to try to check things out and to do the best for you and your families. Isn't that right, Dave? That's it. We're very angry with some of these people.
Oh, without a doubt, Jeff. You know, I mean, look, at the end of the day, with the support that we should have from the normal Joe in the street, knowing if they knew what was going on in this country, hence the reason the media don't show what needs to be shown. If the public knew, all hell would break loose, right? They've got to keep everyone dumbed down. They've got to keep everyone on an even keel. They've got to keep you working. They've got to keep you paying your mortgages. They've got to keep you doing all the stuff that you normally do every day. If you turned away from that and started looking a little bit deeper into what goes on in this country and other countries around the world at the moment, they'd have a shit.
Sorry, guys. I'm just laughing what CLG put in the chat box. I will help you kick yours if you lick ours. Kick, oh my God, what a typer.
this is something that I feel very strongly about. It's what I said to you all earlier, you know, and everyone listening. Don't be afraid of adding someone with no mutual friends. You know, you've got to spread this message further. You've got to go to different people. And for anyone that missed what I said earlier, I will say it again very, very quickly. I'll get lots and lots of friend requests every day. I check them out. I send them messages. Do you know me? Do I know you? I see them on your videos. I think you're spot on. I add them as a friend. I look back down through their page and see what they've been posting about. And if it's, you know, from about, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, they posted something about a Muslim or something about this or something about that, bang, they're in. Any trouble, they get blocked. You can't keep giving the same message to the same people. You've got to be able to give this message to different people. And I'll go out on a limb. I don't give a shit. They can screenshot me. They can do what they want. My face is already out there. So I couldn't give two shits. To be quite honest with you, I don't care about being screenshot.
No, that's right, you know. I mean,
this is something that I feel, it's, oh, God. I see these photos, you know, people take screenshots. And I don't want to, you know, I'm not causing any dispersions to anybody, but you get screenshots. Can anyone vouch? You know, I mean, fucking hell, really? Has you got to go that far? You've got to watch your, you know, I know we've all got to watch our backs. I know what goes on. We've got to be very careful about what we do. But, you know, I'm not being careful in any way, shape or form. I'm putting videos out. I'm doing radio shows. Jeff's doing radio shows. You know, we're all out there already. So I would add who I am.
We
know,
do it anyway, whatever the implications is. I mean, it's so important that we do it and what we do. And we'll continue to do it. And it doesn't faze me. It doesn't worry me whatsoever if I was screenshotted or if they've stuck me on YouTube saying this or saying that, whatever. It doesn't worry me because I know that what we say is the truth. That's it. People don't like the truth. It's too bad. We know what's coming. And this is what we try. Maybe they say, we're alarmed. This is what a lot of people like to think, that we're alarmists. No, we are realists. We understand the situation, don't we, Dave? And we know something needs to be done. And this is all we're saying is the general public, Anna. Come on, guys, we need you. You know, this country is your country as well. This is your country. You know, it's your culture, your laws that they're messing about with. It's about time you stood with us and maybe done something, maybe not in the same capacity as what we do. If you get demonstration, I don't know, emails. Write to your MPs, do things like that. Become more proactive. Don't sit there looking at the TV, wagging your finger and having a moan about things, because you're important to us. People like you, you know, you're the good people out there. You know, if you become more proactive, you are helping the cause. You are helping us to achieve what we're trying to do to stop Islamisation spreading throughout our countries. Our countries, you heard I'll say our countries, because it is our countries. I look right across Europe. I can see the way that Sweden's been raped. I can see the way Norway, the same thing. And when I do that, I mean Islamic raping of young children. And it's absolutely, we live in a nightmare, aren't we, Dave? We live in a nightmare in Europe at this moment in time. It's probably the worst that the world's ever seen since the age of the Nazis, you know, because it's global. The tentacles of Islam spreads wide and far. And we've got to fight it. We've got to stand up against this. In the end, you've got no choice, guys.
They talk about global domination, world domination, Islam everywhere. It's in every country around the globe at the moment. And still, there isn't enough people that have woken up to what's going on. And it's in every country across this land. Billions of Muslims in other countries in this land creating merry hell, and still people aren't waking up. I've got to give a big shout-out to Captain Awesome, a good American friend of ours in the chat room at the moment. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Awesome?
Hey, Captain. Is he just come in, is he? Good evening, Captain Awesome, and welcome to the chat room and, of course, the English Defence League radio show as well. Thank you for being here. And, it's always good to see new people coming into the chat room, Dave and Tommy, isn't it? It's great. So I hope you come in more often. It'd be lovely, wouldn't it, Dave?
I'll say.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, Tommy, as I said, I just get so wound up with what's going on around. I know you do, Dave. You're a bit like me, mate. You, there's so much you want to do, and you're trying to wake up so many people out there. And I think what we're doing with the shows that we do, a lot of people speak to their friends, they listen to the shows, they know that what's going on around them is affecting them now. They think, my goodness me, they're so right, what can we do? And that's the people that we like to reach out to, isn't it, Dave? This is the people that we are trying to reach out to. Because guaranteed there'll be a time where you might be living in your little bubbles, where your little bubble's going to pop, and you're going to notice the realistic things going on around you. And as I say, that's where we, you know, that's the reason why we are here. Now, the English Defence League, and that's what I'm saying, we can't go nowhere because it's so important for the country. This is what else do we do, Dave? You know,
well,
I mean, we've got good people.
We've been immortalised on Blog Talk Radio, Matter of Fact Radio, videos, you know, all over YouTube and the EDL. We've been immortalised, and we will be there forever until some nuke comes down and blows everything to shit. But, you know, this is something that we can look back on in years to come and go, I'm proud. I'm proud that we actually came across and did something as a nation.
I've always said that, and it's often been spoke about, you know, that one day down the lines, you know, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren say, you know, when all that trouble was going on at the time, what did you do, granddad? And you know, great-granddad, where it be me, because I'm a great-grandfather, Dave, you know. And I could say, well, you know, son, be quite honest with you, I was a part of the English Defence League. I'd done the radio shows and, you know, speaking about this evil that was reigning throughout the world. I said, so, yes, I mean, and many of us, we had to, it was a lot of hard work, but we had to wake the people up. In the end, we did, because that's the way I look, that we can wake the people up and we will stand as one. When it comes to it, when the chips are down and that, we will stand together as one and we will take this on head on, and we will resolve it and we will be victorious at the end, Dave. You know, I can see that light that's shining there. But your views, Dave?
My views are, you know, if I know we're here to do a job, I know that everyone that are awake at the moment are ready to do a job. And I'm doing a job every day from sharing and posting and you know, reaching out to like-minded people or not like-minded
people.
Do a great
job.
About what we are doing and what everyone else around the country at the moment, and in other countries as well, I will say, as to what we're doing to fight the Islamic threat that we face at the moment. Like I keep saying, I can't see that it's going to come to some sort of bloodshed unless we do something. These people have got it all sewn up. You know, Europe is completely different at the moment. You know, they've got no sort of places or people in places of trust or power, and they're having to fight tooth and nail to try and get what they want, which is causing riots, they're raping, they're grooming, you know, same sort of stuff what we've got on here without the riots. Now, to know, obviously, from yesterday that there were thousands upon thousands of these people all across the country demonstrating, you know, about what's going on in their own countries and the news not reporting it as they should and whatnot. You know, these people can mobilise at the drop of a hat. Now, I did actually get told by somebody this has been sort of a while in the planning, but just a very, very surprised really that nobody, you know, and even the people that I've got around me, nobody heard about what was going on. No one knew before it happened. So these people have gone old school. They sent an email all over Facebook. There was no police liaison. You know, these people took to the streets in their thousands because they could. You know, so our democratic process, like I keep saying, they will win this war if we sit back and do nothing. And this is, you know, I know we're a street movement. I know what goes on. I know that there are a lot of other street movements out there with the same sort of mindset as a street movement. We have got to get more government or more political in our fight. Because this is what they're using against us. So we've got to be able to do something else. Now, the likes of Nigel Farage and UKIP, you know, just to get us out of the EU, gives us 4 or 5 years to work on Paul Weston and Liberty GB. That'd be my choice. You know, if we can't do that, then we've got to forcibly remove these people from government. It's as simple as that. And I don't see...
Oh, well, you know what, Dave? I stand with you firmly on that, because that's what I say, that all the time we got these... these people are just slowly but surely destroying our countries and nations, that we're going to have to remove them one way or another. We like to do it through the ballot box, but With what's coming out now, a lot of these are going to fall on their own swords, because I'll tell you what, Dave, there's so many nonsense rife through the bloody, through the House of Parliament, mate. It's just going to be unbelievable what turns up. We know it's out there. We know it's waiting to hit the fan. And because there's already been about 8 to 10 names have been mentioned. It's, they don't want to say who they are, but they're very, that we know them, you know, because they've been on the television and things like that. So,
you know,
I mean,
what? It's funny.
And this sort of thing brings down parliaments, governments, doesn't it?
We've
always said it.
You know, they don't lose speeding tickets. They don't lose your community tax charge. They don't lose anything else. But 114 pages or 114 copies of some report that went in about some sort of institutionalised paedophilia has all gone missing.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's absolutely amazing. When you start looking at facts like that, you will realise that these people are corrupt to the fucking core and they need to go. It's as simple as that. Now, if I have my way, tomorrow we'd all be in London, standing in Parliament Square, over 100,000 of us, the biggest thing this country's ever seen, and just stand there, bring the whole of London to a standstill, and just stand there until someone comes out and says, what do you want? This is what we want. Give them a piece of paper. You've got 10 minutes to get the fuck out. If you don't get out, we're going to cover in a boot. Simple as that. Job done. Finished. You know, listen, I'm not being funny here. These things aren't out of reach, Jeff. These things aren't out of reach. We have more power than these people. We employ these people. We pay their wages. They take the piss out of us.
Yeah.
All right? If I went to a job, and the guy went, can I have a straight brick wall built just outside my house, please? And I built a curved one out in the garden. He wouldn't pay me, would he? Now, why are we being led to believe that we've got to pay these people wages and they've got to take what they've got to take from us when they're doing everything we don't want them to do? Everything, you know, the left are up against the fucking government. The right are up against the government. The people that sit on the fence are up against the government. It's the government. We've got to be able to do something about this tyrannous fucking regime that we've got in the House of the Parliament and 10 Downing Street at the moment, and have been for the last few decades. You know,
and of course the elite is pulling the whole strings of them all, aren't they? And we find that's the problem that we've got. We've all said it. There is the hierarchy. There's the higher hierarchy, if you know what I mean.
That's it.
And I think that's where we stand.
That's something I've not been looking to. I have a lot of people posting stuff like that to me, you know, and I refuse to look at it because I don't want my hope taken away. If we're fighting a losing battle, I'd rather fight that battle unbeknownst to me that we will lose. I'd rather fight it as I'm fighting it at the moment. If I start watching all that other shit, I do call it shit, because I don't want to believe in it. I'm not, you know, causing any dispersion to anyone that believes it. You know, the David Icke followers out there with lizard men and all the rest of it. I don't care. I'm not going to look at any of that because once Pope's gone, my feet are up on the table when I'm watching telly like the fucking rest of them. I won't bother doing a bastard thing. That's me, right? I will not look at that stuff. Now, anyone that is looking at that stuff has already had their hope taken away and they go, well, what are we going to do about it? And absolutely nothing. What can we do? Nothing. So it's inevitable that the ending will be what it is. And I'm not up for that. Not up for that at all. Why not? It's
no,
quite
mate.
Easy.
I agree with you.
Ukraine did it.
Yeah.
You know, Ukraine did it. Why can't we do the same thing, but in a gentlemanly manner? Stand there.
Yes.
Don't say a word. The whole of London to a standstill. They come out and go, what do you want then? This is what we want. These are a list of our demands, or we're not moving. It's as simple as that. But you need massive, massive numbers of people. 100,000 and over.
Yeah, if you motivate the people enough, you could get the numbers out. There's no doubt about it, Dave. You know, we can do it. It's just people actually, you know, stand up thinking, well, I can be there, I'm going to do it. And you get everybody thinking the same. We as you say, we could bring London to a total standstill. That's something we could talk about in the very near future anyway, Dave. We'll have a little chat about it. We can change things, can't we, mate? You know, the people for the people, and that's what it's about.
There's a photograph that's been circling around on Facebook for a few years, and there's a cliff and a long plank, and at the end of it sits a government official, and on the other end of it, on the land side there, stands 40 people. Just step back. Look at the power you've got. We hold the power. We hold the power. We just don't realise it.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. You know, we hold all the cards. We pay their wages. We employ these people. Now, surely, you know, I think someone's taken David Cameron to court at the moment. We'll do that on the next one. I'll do a little bit more digging into that one. But for the court,
I would like to hear that, Dave. Sounds interesting.
That's it. But you know, there are things that we could do, whether it be, you know, I don't know, higher courts, European courts, maybe using before they go, Court of Human Rights. We should not be discriminated against for having some sort of false assimilation. There are lots of things that we've got in our pockets that are sort of hidden amongst chewing gum and bingo tickets. Do you know what I mean? We can't find, you know, we can't see the wood for the trees. That's what's going on. It, you know, we hold so much power as a people, but still every day we lay down and take it dry. We take it dry every day, you know. And the sooner we wake up, the better.
Yeah, no, Dave, you were so right there, mate. And that's why, you know, it's nice to, because our listeners probably feel exactly the same, Dave. And you know, the way you speak about things as well. And that most people are probably nodding their head in total agreement with everything you said this evening. And, you know, it'd be nice to be able to do that, to be able to remove these people from power. Because, you know, they're just messing our countries up, aren't they? That's it. They just...
They
don't care. They really just don't care about us. They don't care about the working class people. They don't really care. As long as they get their big fat pension at the end of it, they will do us over every day, won't they? So as they have their little pension out of it, and then going to live their nice comfy, you know, comfy time when they retire and all that. You know, I've all said out there, don't think there's a safe place for you, because when things do go down, you will be held accountable. You will be held accountable. All the men out there that think they can just get away with it, people like the Blairs, things like that, they think they can do things, you know, treacherous to their country, they will be held accountable, no doubt about it. And I hope I live to see that day. I hope I live to see the day, Dave, that these people are brought to account. Because,
let's face facts. Like I say, to employ these people, we should be able to unemploy them. We should be able to give them their P45s. We should be able to do something. Why is it that the only people that can run this country come from Eton or Cambridge? These people that are born with silver spoons, go to a private school, go to colleges, never experience or taste life as we taste and experience life. The House of Commons was put there to house the common people. There are no common people in the Houses of Parliament. That was supposed to keep an even par between the House of Lords and the Houses of Parliament. Right? Houses of Commons.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be for the common people. These people aren't common people. So how can we have some sort of balance in between the House of Lords and the House of Commons? It can't be done. We need to fill that place for the people us. Right, that know about life, have experienced life and tasted life and know exactly what it is, all right? It leaves a bitter taste. These people don't know about the bitter taste that life leaves at the moment because they're not living it. That, you know, I saw Ed Miliband on the TV and they said something to him, you know, what's your grocery shop in a week? What's it come to? And he went, about 80, 90 pounds. They went, leave it out. A family of four, average, and that's shopping at the cheapest place you can go to. It's over 100 quid. He went, you know, we all know they don't shop in Tesco's. Come on. You know, how can these people know what's going on in our country and how we feel? Now, we can go back old school on this and start going and seeing our MPs and going and seeing our councillors, sending emails, writing letters to let these people know how we feel. We should do maybe someone should start a page up, right?
Yeah.
And send Tom,
I know Kel's doing something in Canada. Kel started, doing a letter campaign and an email campaign and with a few other people. So that's probably the way to go as well, Dave. I think it's a bloody good idea, mate. For everybody that listens to the show, maybe you could write and, you know, do an email or send a few letters to your MPs. Start putting them under a bit of pressure. You know, you're paying their wages, for goodness sake. And, you know, you want to see them that they're trying to help their community and the people in their constituencies as well. So there you go. I think that's a bloody good idea, Dave. So anybody's listening, maybe? Yeah? I've noticed that Germany's just scored, Dave, in the... Argentina match, yes. Anyway, I mustn't talk about football, you know, but I've just turned my head and I heard the goal go in, you know, in the background, Dave.
Being English, choosing between Germany and Argentina to win the World Cup is like choosing between the cans and Rolf Harris to babysit your kids.
Oh, my goodness, mate. Bang on as usual, Dave. Dave, guess what? We've lost Tommy. I know sometimes his internet connection goes a bit wry, and I think he's dropped off on us. But I've got to thank, if he's listening, he's having problems getting back in, I've got to thank him for his for putting the clips in, because he quickly uploaded that video clip from
the
lady.
Live as well.
Yeah, so he's done a great job this evening. Dave, it's always a great pleasure to have you part of the panel and the team, talking about the issues that we have done tonight. And I didn't hear you really get on a rant tonight, though, Dave. I was really looking forward to that, but maybe we'll do that. Maybe on the next on Thursday show, hey, Dave.
Thursday show. I'll actually make a point of that, because Friday again, from 9 o'clock until I think it was 5:30 in the morning again, marathon show on Motivate, and we had plenty of callers in.
What
did
you like?
Piss of the fart is what
had
I was.
Had a good one,
then,
mate. Yeah.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I actually sat on the chair. I think it was about 6:30 when I went. I put my neck out a little bit from nodding and sort of going and then waking up again.
No, mate.
Back, you know, yeah, it was one of those ones. But an absolutely fantastic show. Not as many people, obviously, as what I'd like, but, you know, this is the way things go, and the recording goes up, and more people listen to the recording. But, you know, this is anything we can do. You know, anything we can do. It doesn't matter. You know, once you get rolling with somebody, I said on the last show that I did, what I'm going to do is limit the calls to 10 minutes. You've got no chance. People have got so much to say. Yeah. And you know,
but you love it though, don't you, Dave? It's something you enjoy doing. You love talking with people. You like discussing the issues, the topics, and that's why I love having you part of the team as well, because it's nice to bat ball with you with some of the things that we discuss on the show. And of course, it's great for the listeners as well to hear our views. I'd say tonight, I'd love to have a few people called in tonight, but things have just rolled along so quick tonight that we've just done I think we've done a pretty good show this evening, I'll be quite honest with you though. It's very interesting. I hope our listeners have enjoyed the show, because it's always an honour and privilege to do these shows. Ladies and gentlemen, and I'm just looking at the time now, Dave. We got 3 minutes, but once again, Dave, thanks again for being here with me tonight, and it's been absolutely awesome as usual. And Tommy, I know you're out there, boy. Thank you so much for being a co-host this evening. And of course, we've had Sue from New Mexico sit there. It's always good to see Sue. And everybody in the chat room, my goodness me, we've had a busy, busy chat room this evening. And wherever you might be, whatever device you're listening on tonight, I hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back again this Thursday with the topics, whatever the topic is. I've got that lady in my ear, Dave, saying, you've got 90 seconds before the show ends. So, from myself, from Dave, from Tommy, from us all, take care, stay safe, and God bless you all. And from myself and from Dave, Tommy, no surrender. No surrender ever. Good night, guys, and we'll see you this Thursday. With that, we're going underground. Good night, Dave. Cheers, mate.
Shut up. Cheers, mate. Bye.
Cheers, buddy.
People might say my life is in a rut. I'm quite happy what I've got. People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the point. Things happening here today, a show of strength with your five brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money and of course that's not mine. My nuclear test was for atomic crimes, and the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing. Pleasure as a hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging through your facts. You see, here's what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leaders and place your trust, and their lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets.
Well, there you go, and once again, we're going in to do a little bit of archives tonight. My goodness me, Dave, doesn't the time go quick when we do these shows? Have you noticed that?
Well, see,
I'm
now
amazed.
I sometimes do a nine-hour show, and it's, you know, it goes by in just no time at all. You just wouldn't believe it. And the amount of calls that come in sometimes as well, people have got something to say. Once you engage in conversation, that's it. You know, before you know it, it's me and Peter getting up with the birds.
I mean, I couldn't do a show as long as that because I'll be totally messed up all day after that, like, you know, but a couple of hours does me. You know, I remember starting off, you know, Dave, when I first started off on Blog Talk Radio, all it was half an hour show, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And then someone said, "Ah, that's not enough. We want more." Like, you know, so I'll give them an hour. And they said, "No, it's still too short." Then it went for an hour and a half, and then we do the two-hour shows now, and I think that's plenty, mate, you know.
The three-hour shows,
I might fade a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I say, Dave. Leave them wanting more, mate. That's how I feel.
It takes a lot, you know, to do the research and to be able to talk about different things that we talk about. And it does, you know, it does take it out. You, don't get me wrong, you know, Saturday, I don't get up until sort of 12, 1 o'clock, and Saturday is dead.
Yeah.
I can't really do anything. And it's been like that for weeks and weeks and weeks, unless I go away to do something, obviously a demo or whatever. In which case, the Friday night show's done up.
Oh, you totally messed up then, didn't you? You've been up sort of on the radio as well, mate.
I know, you
love it, don't you, Dave? Come on, you love it, mate.
I do. I like, you know, talking to different people and to get people with a like-minded attitude that have got something to say. I have some people come on sometimes, and it's all about sort of lawfulness and legislations and acts and statutes. So I get people come and talk about Muslims. So I get people come and talk about NHS. So, you know, the topics are so varied.
Very open topics, yeah.
Exactly. You know, you're not talking about the same thing all the time. It doesn't get exhaustive. There's always something to say, you know. And like I say to you, you know, you look round, and I normally set my recordings for 5 hours, and, you know, come sort of up past one, you go, "Oh, what's the time? Oh, we've only got half hour left. We've got to start a new recording in half hour." You know, you just think, "Oh, my God, where's the time going?" It's amazing.
Amazing, isn't it? Especially when you got your teeth into something, you really, you're getting down, you're having a bit of a rant and that, in there. The time just flies, doesn't it, mate?
Oh, yeah. It would be nice for you to call into ours one night, Jeff, or I'll give you a bill. I will do.
Dave, we'll have to have a chat on the phone. You'll have to give me the ins and outs of it, because I've been on the show, I've listened to the show, but I wasn't sure, because after it says, you know, you haven't been doing it, or you've been idle, and then you've got to just refresh the page and all that, like, Dave. So
give me the ins and outs
of it, like, you know. Because I'd love to, mate. Love to be a part of your show, like, you know. Because I know you talk about any very interesting things on there, I'd like to be part of it, mate. You know, I was just give you a bit of a heads up. My sister moved down to Herne Bay, yesterday, the day before. She's down there, so in the very near future, I'll be probably coming down and probably stay with my sister for maybe a week or something, or other, and I'll just give you a bell when I'm down that end, mate, you know?
That sounds good. If she needs any work done, give me a shout.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. Oh, that's a... Yeah, she might do. Because, I mean, my brother-in-law, he's a builder himself, but might need a little bit of... Because that's what you are. You're a builder, aren't you, Dave?
I am, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll have a chat to me sister and me brother-in-law, because he just lately he's got diabetes, he's got a few health issues and that, and maybe he'd like someone to give an hand, maybe there's some things he needs doing. That'd be really nice, though. So yeah, I'll talk to you on the phone in the week, and I'll talk to my sister before that, like, and. What I'll do is I'll give you their address or give the phone number, and then you can contact them, or they contact you, mate, you know?
That's it.
They live right by the not too far, about 5 minutes away from the seaside bit, like, you know, the coastline.
All right, yeah.
So I looked at it on the, I've done the Google Earth, mate, and how fucking good that.
It is, isn't it?
right up close to the house and everything. I'm at the top view, side view, down the road and everything. Thought I'd like to see with my sister's because it was a bit of an upheaval. I know she shed a few tears. She had a beautiful home where she lived. Where she lived up Hayes, and my brother-in-law worked so hard on that place. It was like a little palace. It was, Dave, you know. And I know it was a bit of a heart wrench when you got to move from a lovely home, isn't it, Dave? But I don't know, they'll turn it into what they want. It's a bit smaller than what they had before. But there's only them two now, like, so they don't need a massive, great, big home like they had before because they had the kids. So, yeah, so, Dave, that's nice to know, mate. You know, I'll speak to my sister, and then I'll have a chat to you, and I'll let you know, mate. A bit of work come your way, mate.
Well, listen, I'm really good at what I do, put it that way. I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but, you know.
What's that trumpet I can hear in the background?
That's it. It's in my arse at the moment. You know, I try to help people out. I get discount from certain places, much like your brother-in-law probably does. You know, I'm not trying to sort of wangle me away for a bit of work or whatever, but, you know, if anyone needs help and they want a true patron, give them a hand, then that's what it's all about, you know, rather than get ripped off by someone who don't know what they can do.
It certainly is, mate.
It certainly is.
I know you probably get on quite well with my brother-in-law as well. He's a bit of a jack the lad, he is.
Come
from a long line of jack the lads, like, you know, probably thought a bit like me, like, you know. Yeah, you know what I mean, mate. But anyway, Dave, got to thank you. It's nice to have just a little bit of archives tonight. Oh, by the way, just to let you know that Germany have won the World Cup, and the Argentina is sitting around crying.
When the World Cup first started, Germany were 90-1 to win it. My boy was going to put a tenner on it and didn't bother.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
You can never underestimate. I'm not being funny. I know they're our old enemy, but you never can underestimate the Germans. The way that they stuffed Brazil was just unbelievable, mate. 7-1. It's never been known before. They just took them to pieces. You know, you should have took that bet, mate. I tell you, you should have just you would think, well, I could have stuck a 1 on that. Like that, that'd have been a nice bet, wouldn't it?
That'd have been lovely.
Yeah, it's been really nice, like, but anyway, Dave, it's been really, and I'm going to be speaking to you real soon, really look forward to catching up with you and you know, having a chat at that meeting that we're going to.
Oh, yeah.
And really look forward to that. There's lots of, there's different things going to happen, but I'm looking forward to the day. I don't know about you, mate. I'm really looking forward to it.
And putting faces to voices and whatever, you know, it goes. And obviously, it's
the chat. You'd probably be going, well, where's Jeff? He's there. Don't be treading on him. He's only a little bloke. Stop treading on him.
Oh,
Dave,
stop
treading on Jeff.
I'm sick of Jeff. Maybe I've got to stoop down a little bit.
Because Dave, tell you, I'm only a little bloke, like, you know. Remember,
I've
seen him before and we've been, you know, popping maybe in the pub and have a drink or whatever, and there's a bar stool there, he'll pick me up and put me on the bar stool. He's a bugger, he is.
Yeah, he told me about that, actually, wherever you were. He said he sort of he wheeled you in, so to speak, on the stool. Fantastic.
I know. But it's all fun. I mean, we done a demo at Chelmsford, and I knew Dave was he was doing the stewarding as we come off the train, because from the Ipswich division, when we got off the train, and there's Dave, like, little, you know, my nickname, Little Legs.
Yeah.
He comes with Little Legs. Little Legs, and he's walked up to me, he's picked me up. And, you know, I wear glasses, Dave. Well, me glass popped out, me glasses, like, on the floor. I said, you bugger, pop my glasses. but I'll never forget that, because it's where, you know, Ray picks me up like that. He's like, oh, my God, like, you know. But, it'd be really, really nice to meet you, you know, and talk with you, Dave, because I know we got a lot to, we've got a lot to chat about, haven't we, bruv?
I can't wait. Actually, you know, it's been a while since I've been away for the weekend again. you know, it'd be nice to have to get out of the house and do something constructive, you know, which is what
sure, it'd be beneficial for us all, like, you know, looking for the future of where we're going with EDL, what we're doing, and it's good days ahead. That's what I was just giving. All I said when I was doing the shows was, ladies and gentlemen, in the future, we've got a bright future. That's all I'm going to say. I'm really quite excited. You know, I like to speak about it after the event. I'm not going to say too much because we know there's a lot of people out there would love to know exactly what we're doing, Dave, and I ain't going to give them that pleasure of maybe trying to spoil things. So anyway, mate, it's been fantastic sharing the platform with me tonight in the studio. And do you know what? I didn't see him tonight, that little bugger. We got some Muslim that keeps coming in here. Or Islamist, whatever his name is. Where is he? He keeps coming in saying, I'm going to kill you. And I'm surprised I haven't seen him tonight. You've seen a little Muslim roaming about, have you? But, I don't know where he is. He's normally about. He's normally about, Dave.
You can't trust
no,
him.
No, I can't see him. I've looked in the corner, I've looked under them rocks. Oh, no, he's not here. He's probably going and worrying someone else tonight, Dave. But anyway, I'm not going to play anything tonight, Dave, because I need to have a drink of tea and that. And I'm just going to say this is the English Defence League radio show, myself, Bossman, Davey J. We're saying goodnight tonight, and we'll see you this Thursday. So, cheers, Dave.
Speak to you soon, Jeff.
You the way. I'll give you a ring, mate. Okay?
Yep, no worries.
Good night, guys.
Thanks very much, Jeff.
See you, Percy.
Cheers, mate.